podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Welcome to the Full-Time Devils podcast. It's me, Jay, hosting today. Adam McCullough isn't with us today, but he will be back very soon with some great videos. Don't panic. You're in good hands. Also joining me today is Karthik Sharsunder, making your debut.
Yes, indeed.
Your Full-Time Devils podcast debut. You are a regular on the fan cams, of course. As well, we've got Kieran Taylor. Is it your debut on the Full-Time Devils podcast?
It is. Long-time listener. First-time guest. Wish it was under better circumstances, though.
We'll get to that,
later.
And last but by no means least is someone who's not his debut. We've all heard him many, many times. And I know you're full of the joys of spring this morning, aren't you? This afternoon,
the joys of
Mr. Andy
spring,
Tate himself.
Yes.
We were just talking before we started recording about films, and you said you're not seeing the new Star Wars film, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it yet. And you got to follow the trilogy. You got to follow it in the correct order. I'm not even seeing The Last Jedi yet.
Why don't you make it like a Tarantino film for yourself and watch like the last one first and then the beginning and the middle?
Confuse, you know what I mean?
Like a novel, yeah.
Yeah, it's ruining Back to Front. I mean, my last movie I seen was Avengers Endgame.
That was about a year ago now.
That was decent.
A long time ago.
That bit where Captain America says Avengers Assemble.
But why they made him whisper it, I don't know.
Avengers,
everyone in the back.
Assemble.
Because he's whispering it, so people in the back are going to go, oh, what did he say? Did he say assemble? Right, are we going now? Yeah, let's go.
I think that might be the greatest payoff, though. The greatest build-up to something in film history.
Yeah, and how would the duck just happens to come through a portal at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, was it 27 films in 9 years or something stupid that led to that moment?
Yeah, I've not done
which
it.
Is pretty impressive.
I've only done the Avengers, and I've got through Guardians of the Galaxy, but I've not seen Doctor Strange and all that.
Seen Spider-Man?
Yeah, I've seen Spider-Man, and the last Spider-Man movie was absolute rubbish pants.
Far from home.
Far from home.
Controversial.
That took me a lot to see. He loved it, but he's four. So, you know, he's always...
I was going to say, I loved it, but
People right now are going, what the fuck are they doing talking about Spider-Man and Avengers when we've just been beaten 2-0 at home to Burnley? We tried to prolong it. We didn't really want to talk about it, but I suppose we've got to. We were all there last night. Time of recording this was the morning after the night before. We were at a game. A lot of anger towards Ed Woodward. A lot of anger towards the Glazers. Probably one of the few times I can remember the whole ground standing up to Andy Glazer chants, even near the executive boxes and the director's bit. Andy, I'll start with you. You've been pretty vocal against Ed and the Glazers since I've seen you, met you. Do you think this anger and frustration towards Woodward and the Glazers is going to change anything? Do you think it's different to what we've seen before? Do you think it's worse than what we've seen before, other than obviously the actual
I think
protest?
It's a pivotal moment because, like I said, the atmosphere last night, even the fog it played, it was a bit of an eerie presence in the air that it could... It's like with the traditions of United, it's like the spirits were rattled as well. And it got nasty last night and toxic. Even I took my nephew, even he was vocal and he's 17. I was vocal. I've never seen the ground do that in about 15 years.
I feel for people that are like that age. How old are you, Catholic?
20.
Oh, mate. Kieran?
23, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah. So I feel for you youngsters because... Me and Andy over there, we've seen, you know, 13 titles and all the rest of it.
I've seen the bad years. I've gone through the 80s. All we did was win a couple of FA Cups. So yeah, they're dark days. But this is the worst since the 80s.
Even the 80s, though, I vaguely remember the 80s. I was born in 1980. But even the 80s, like we got results at Anfield. You know, we got big results. City were worse than us for much of that decade, and we won trophies.
Yeah.
Now, and also you had some hope for the future of the club. Now it's like, it just seems darkness. You talk about the fog, the darkness is descending. And What is the end game? Sorry to.
I love it. Bring it.
What is there? Because it's like you think, okay, well, this could happen. It could lead to this. It could lead to this, and then it can lead to the Glazers leaving and everything being rosy. But I don't even see that. I can't. You know.
All you can see.
I'm no financial expert.
It would have to be a scandal with the dealings they do. You know what I mean? With the banks and all that.
I'm just saying.
Look what happened to Leeds United. It has to be along them lines.
Look at that, they nearly went under.
I know, but it has to be something really scandalous and dodgy, and that's the only way to maybe remove him from power and remove them. They have to force to sell. You know,
Kieran, where do you stand on the Glazers and Ed and everything?
Oh, I mean, we were talking about last night, and last night was the first time I can remember, because we've always had this mentality. We're angry about the Glazers, even when we were winning and when we were picking them. But last night was the first time it almost seemed that anger turned to somewhat despair. I mean, seeing on 80 minutes, I mean, Rio said it himself in the post-match stuff, called it an embarrassment. And just to see what... just everyone leaving in their drones and everything. Just
even in their drones, did you say?
Droves is drones.
They fly out of the stadium on a drone.
To last
that was a sight to be like, there's your protest.
It is the year 2020. Where's 70,000 flying cars? You know what I mean?
Too far away from that.
But it's just what, you know, people are starting to slowly, people are starting to realise now what they're actually doing to the club.
I've seen young kids singing it.
Yeah.
Young kids like 10, 11, 12. And that's saying something. Yeah. Young kids with the dads actually singing.
And the whole point as well,
the Glazer song.
It's not just, you know, the diehard part. Like you said, the executive boxings and stuff getting involved.
Yeah,
you
it was never right around there. I was in the street and I could see it.
Say my nephew's in the Stretford End, and he actually saw people in suits, all in his suits and all that, actually singing it and standing up.
I don't know.
It's quite a sight.
That little box where Fergie and all that sits, that little segment, I didn't see them personally. I'm in the straight. I didn't see them stand up, but the surrounding bit did, and they usually don't join in with that sort of stuff. But the whole ground to me looked like it was just stood up in unison.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was getting a little bit like that when we were against Norwich, even though we were winning. So you knew that there was going to be something was going to happen, when we went behind to Burnley. You know, what is the answer then if it's not standing up in the ground or chanting? Is that going to get us anywhere, do you think, Carthy? Do you think that can... I'm not saying, you know, people shouldn't do it. I think people should always be vocal about their unhappiness with the Glazers. But, you know, how do you see it changing anything, or what do you think could change something?
I mean, I thought that when we did it against Norwich, when we were like 3-0 up or whatever, it was more impactful because we're doing it when we're winning. So situations like last night, they're just going to look at it and go, oh, they're only doing that because we're losing. You know, they're just throwing the, you know, toys out the pram sort of thing. Yeah. But I think the only way we can make a change is to just stop going, but no one's going to do that. Because we love United. We go to watch
that's
United.
That's what they expose.
Yeah. I think, you know...
Your loyalty, your love.
Yeah.
Do you think it is getting up to that point, Andy? Do you think you would ever get there where you think, I'm not going anymore?
I can't do it.
No. I know, because me and you spoke about this on this podcast many times.
Me dad took me to Old Trafford my first time in 1983.
Similar to me.
He gave me a videotape. What's that? Get back to me. Mm. And I did. And it's why I love the club.
Mm.
And it's like, I say this, like I said, I'm getting emotional now. It's part of my life. Next to me, family first, United second. It's what it is.
No, I feel you, mate. I do. And, you know, I'm the same as you. My dad took me. And my missus took me eldest. She's 9. She's been going a couple of years now. I feel for her because she's, you know, I've said this many times, she's watched us get beat off Derby, draw with Rochdale, last minute winner against the mighty Rostov. She's seen some absolutely epic clashes. But, you know, she loves going, and I want to take my lad as well, like my dad took me. He's 4, so he'll be good. I want to take him maybe this year or next season. But I'm almost at a point where I'm thinking, am I part of the problem?
Yeah, my dad gave me the videotape to the history of Manchester United, and I must have watched it a dozen times, about 9, 10 years old, to get what the club meant. And I went to the FA Cup final in 1985. I actually got what it meant at 10 years old.
Yeah.
Kim. And that was even during the Barron years. Sorry.
No, go on.
That was even during the Barron years from 85 to 90. I never stopped loving. I never stopped going. I just went for the love of the game. Because, like, oh, it's Saturday afternoon. I'm going with my dad. I'm going in the Stretford End. I'm going in the Stretford paddock. You know, my dad, like I say, my mum's out doing shopping with my little brother. You know what I mean? I'm going to football with my dad. And that was like me and my dad doing it on the way. Going to a match on the weekend.
I still remember my dad like Wednesday night once saying to me, well, go and get your scarf. You're about to go and get my scarf. Go and get your scarf. We'll go to Old Trafford.
Yeah. Said that to me in 89. Get 1 o'clock. Yeah. Go and tell your mum. We're going. Come on, get your scarf. We're going. 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, I think if I said that to my lad, now he'd be like, no, you're all right. CBeebies has just started. I'm good. And I'd probably be like, you know what? I'll stay in and watch that with you. Kieran, Ed Woodward's getting a lot of flack, as usual. Justified? Is it all his fault?
Very much part, a large part of it is his fault. At the end of the day, unfortunately for us, he's a really good, you know, commercial businessman. He's fantastic at making money in that regard.
Don't want to insult you too quickly. Yeah. Just, is he though, right? And the reason I ask this is the growth of this club. Are we sort of really understanding this? Has this club grown in what it's worth, the way it should have done? Because I get where you're coming from. I think it was Mark Ogden tweeted something about, oh, the share prices have gone up. And then people have delved into that and gone, if you actually look at the size of this club as an asset, if someone compared it to General Electric.
Yeah.
General Electric haven't grown. They've invested loads of money and over the past 10 years haven't really grown. And they're one of the biggest companies in the world. And there's an argument that United have grown slightly, but for a club that size or an asset, if we're going to talk in business terms, that size, we should have grown a lot more. So do you think he's flattering to deceive even on that bit, or do you think he's doing that bit well?
No, but there's also, like you mentioned there, I mean, yeah, he's made business, but the club hasn't been invested in properly as well. I mean, just look at the stadium compared to other stadiums around the Premier League. It's nowhere near as up to scratch.
It's just leaks and everything.
It just leaks and everything.
The phone reception's really poor as well.
It's awful.
No, I've been on the way you're trying to catch on.
I'm sorry, that's
a large part of a modern football stadium.
No, but
can I just say I'm quite happy to have no phone connection in Old Trafford.
No, but when you're trying to text family and trying to talk to people at half time, you cannot reach anybody. Like, even if it's an emergency or this, that, or the other, you just can't reach.
No, the only reason I said that
is because
I like modern stadiums now. During the game, that's the only reason.
Modern stadiums now, you can actually just a clear phone signal.
I think if they made the Wi-Fi better, people would end up watching Coronation Street or something on the phone.
Yeah, that's true.
I put my headphones on and watch a film. Do you know what I mean? Why watch that dross? Ed Woodward, Andy, you've been very vocal against Ed Woodward since you ever came on this channel. Did your very first appearance on this channel, I think you were critical of him, and rightly so.
It cost me my job, didn't it?
Do you think he'll leave? Do you think he'll go? I mean, he's the highest paid executive vice chairman, to give him his proper moniker, in the country. As Kieran's just alluded to there,
he is
making some money for Glazers, and more importantly, he helped them buy this club with his strategy.
If you are a Pisa fans, get the fuck out and go to the business side.
Does he though? Does he want a Pisa fans? Does he care?
I'm sure he does care, but from a football point of view, what the fuck does he know?
Catholic.
17 months ago, we're on the lookout for a director of football. Jesus Christ. Where is it?
Because no one wants it, because it's not an actual director of football.
That's it's a poison challenge. I'm hearing it's poison
not. No, but thing is not, I've said
it's
this
not
before.
Not the actual director of football role that you think it would be.
Director of football, Liverpool, Man City. You don't hear about them. You don't hear the names get mentioned, but they're in the background. They're doing the job and they're helping the manager. They're helping the structure of the players and recruitment. We ain't got it. We've got a guy who knows the banking system. He don't know the fucking offside rule. He don't know fuck all about fucking VAR probably. He knows fuck all about emotions and football. He don't get it. He's born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He comes from, like, I would say, the David Cameron generation, you know what I mean? I don't doubt his business ability, and he's a family man and all that. But if you don't know anything about this great game on this planet with a round object, it's not for you.
Unfortunately for us, though, money talks, doesn't it? And the longer he keeps making money, the longer the Glazers are happy to keep him sat there. And it's fucking
just put him aside.
Yeah, if it were that easy, it is that easy.
If
obviously,
he's got any heart, any dignity, if this is like still going on next season, just move aside.
Yeah.
There is an argument, I don't know if it's true or not, that he's not a United fan, he's a Liverpool fan. Right? No, hear me out. And if someone was paying you 4.3 million quid a year to oversee Liverpool's shambolic decline. And the fans were all the scousers were chanting, you know, we hate Andy Tate, would you care? Point. If you were getting £4.5 million a year and you weren't a Liverpool fan, would you care?
It's a good question, but it's the money, but
I'm not saying he revels in the hatred. I'm just saying that he's probably not bothered because he's getting paid loads of money and he's not a fan.
I'm old school. Yeah. I have a general love for this club. I
mean, well, that's my point, mate. It's a job to him.
Where did he go when we needed him? He went to the Rugby World Cup final.
Exactly.
With his cronies. And we were losing. We lose to Bournemouth, was it? Where the fuck was he? He's on the other side of the fucking world.
I mean, I'm going to have to ask. We have to sort of, you know, we've all made our feelings on Edward Clare. I don't think there's anyone on this podcast who thinks he's doing a good job on the football side of things or wants to see him continue. But where does the manager stand in this? Kieran, I'll start with you. Because, yes, I don't want the Glazers at the club, and I think they've bled this club dry. The money we've spent, we've wasted. There's been no strategy. It's been a shambles. Yes, I don't want Ed Woodward at his club. I think he's got no football knowledge, and he shouldn't be involved in making football decisions. But that doesn't change the fact that you can think all these things, not mutually exclusive, that I watched United get beat 2-0 last night, and when we were losing 2-0, I saw Jesse Lingard, who's not scored a goal or had an assist in over 12 months, and Luke Shaw, who's got, I think, 2 goals in his entire professional football career, albeit he did score a goal that was disallowed, being brought on last night. Now, surely the manager's got to take some responsibility here for the performances and the tactics that we're seeing against a relatively average Burnley side.
I mean, the whole season we've struggled to beat these teams who play these, you know, I don't want to say park the bus, but, you know, deep line defences. And unfortunately, when you don't have Paul Pogba in a team, and I say Paul Pogba because in my eyes, he's probably the only out-and-out creative player that can hang in the top four in the Premier League, standards-wise. A lot of people, there's been all this Ollie out, Ollie in. It seems to be, you know, dividing a lot more each day. And I've had this debate many times with my mates who aren't United fans who say, look, he's just not cutting the mustard. He's not. What more, like, with the players he has right now, He's brought in 3 players this season. I think we can all agree those 3 players have improved the squad, whether marginally or a lot, they have improved in areas. Yeah. He needs more. We are 21 days into this transfer window, and how on earth, it's not as if we had problems this month. Leading up to it the whole season, we've been saying, if we improve in January, and then we put all our eggs in the Haaland basket there. And then that obviously fell through. And it doesn't seem we have a clue what we're doing. Sorry, I'm going on a bit here. But
you're right. Keep going.
To answer your question, you know, does Ollie have to take some sort of onus? Obviously, he does. He's the coach at the end of the day. But my counter argument would be, like you said, you got Jesse Lingard on the bench who hasn't scored an assist in the league for a year. You got Luke Shaw, who's 1 career goal to his name. You got
I gave him two.
You got Diogo Dalot. Diogo Dalot hasn't kicked a ball in, I'd say, since May last season. You know, Eric Bailly, who was on the bench, who's coming back from, 6, 7, 8 months, whatever it was on the touchline. He needs more bodies in there. He's been clearing out the deadwood, as we've been crying out a manager to do. And he has been doing that. But when you clear people out, you have to bring people in. And there's just been not enough of that.
Yeah, I agree on pretty much everything you've said there. Karthik, where do you stand with the manager? Is it time for a change? Is it his fault? Are his hands tied? As the kids say.
I've never said that in my life. I mean, I said it on my fan cam last night. There's some blame to be put on Ollie, yes, because sometimes his in-game management has been poor. I'll throw my hands up and I'll accept that.
Yeah.
But you have to look at what he's doing in the game, what he's got to manage in the game, and that's nothing. Now, I said it on my fan cam. If you look back at Jurgen Klopp, I don't want to talk about Scars, but I have to here. When he came in, look at that team that was there and look at the team that beat us last week or Sunday, whenever it was. There's a massive difference. There's only 3 players from that original squad that are in there now, maybe 4.
Was it Milner?
Lallana, Henderson, and Origi, I think.
No, he didn't inherit Milner. Milner was a City, wasn't
No, I'm pretty sure he was still there.
I think Klopp signed Milner when he was there.
Did he sign?
I think he might
just
have.
Just come in when Klopp was there. So out of this team.
So maybe three then.
Sorry, I might be wrong. I thought three to four original.
So that just
Henderson
proves.
I know Henderson was there,
Even if Klopp did put in a system when he came in, even with those players, and they were playing exciting football, which Ole also did in the first 3 months, he needed that recruitment. He got them to a cup final. Yes, brilliant, good for him, but he lost it because the team wasn't good enough. Now, that should tell you that a good recruitment policy gets you to where they are now, and that's not what we've done. Simple as that.
No, I agree with that. And I think Howson made a good point a few weeks ago in one of the previews. You look at Klopp. There was a strategy there. Now, I sat down a few months ago, and you might not like everything he's got to say, but Duncan Castle did make a good point. He said about the sort of the way that when Klopp was brought in, players were brought in that fitted his style, that fitted the way he liked to play football, that fitted the system that he did. When Pep went into Man City bought Sterling and De Bruyne before Pep was even there. They knew that he was coming in. They knew that those were players he could get the best out of and that would work in his system. He's got Tiki Beristan, who I was pronouncing their name, forgive me, who he works with, he's known for years, who's like helped him get the players that he wants. When they went for Van Dijk and they couldn't get him, Liverpool, they waited and then went back in until they could get him because they knew what a difference was made. When they had a keeper that was underperforming, they got a new one in. They strengthened, even if it meant spend a lot of money. When City brought a new keeper in under Pep and he weren't good enough, they got rid of him, bought another one in. Yeah. They got rid of Bravo, brought in Edison. Now, with United, it's like Jose signs, I don't know, Mkhitaryan, right, don't work out, right, that's your lot or whatever, or you swap him for Sanchez. The following summer, he wants a defender, you're not having one. You know, he wants a centre-back, you're not having one. Moyes came in, we bought him Fellaini in his first transfer window when the squad, all right, we were the defending champions, but it was an ageing team. Van Gaal came in, we threw loads of players at him, even some he obviously didn't even want because, you know, we had Ander Herrera sat on the bench with Wayne Rooney in midfield at one point and, you know, nonsense like that. Falcao on the bench and Di Maria up front, it was just chaos. Now Ollie's come in, yes, you've brought in players, but we're still crying out for more, and as Kieran Carthigan mentioned, the transfer window's running out. Is it just Ollie or the system or everything? What is it?
It's a bit of all of them. It's everything. It's a clash of everything. It's the team. We had a half-decent transfer window in the summer. His hands are tied. Tactics, I think he needs guidance.
Can I just ask you this, Orlando? Did we have a decent transfer window in the summer, right? Because
it was going okay.
I get where you're coming from. I'm not disagreeing. I just want to ask you this question. Right, everyone goes on about this transfer window, and I don't disagree with Kieran when he said there were good signings. Right, Harry Maguire for me is a good defender. I wanted Harry Maguire. I said let's get Harry Maguire. Adam Wan-Bissaka is a good defender. I wanted Adam Wan-Bissaka. Daniel James, 15 million, could be the worst footballer in the world. 15 million quid don't matter. Yeah, and I think he's actually done very well, even though he looks knackered now and he needs a rest. Yeah, we brought in those players, and there were signings, but let's not forget, we basically couldn't have paid any more than we paid for Harry Maguire. You were never going to pay more than 85 million quid for him. You couldn't have paid more than 50 million quid for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Dan James, okay, is a bit of a bargain, but he never kicked a ball in top flight football. We also let go Lukaku, who, regardless of what you think of him, 42 goals in 96 appearances for Manchester United. We let go Herrera, an absolute first name on the team sheet under Ole. Absolute banker, but we messed him about of a contract and he just walks away. We let go Sanchez. All right, he's a bit of a spent force, but was still a big name, if you will. We let go Smalling. We let go a lot of players as well, and we didn't replace him. So is that a good transfer window on the whole?
Bit of half and half, isn't it? Look at Lukaku now, top of the Italian league, got a good chance of winning it. Ashley Young's over there as well.
Lukaku would have started last night.
Oh, yeah.
If we had Lukaku, he would have started.
That's his game.
Do you think Lukaku would have been on the bench or not coming? He just started that game.
That's his game.
We have basically 10 days now to sort the season.
Sorry. Just twist it back to... In the sky, mate. Yeah, that's it.
We have basically 10 days now to try and save our season. That is it. Why weren't Fernandes ready to go January the 1st? And they're still haggling over money. Five, 10 million. Yeah, where's this 30 million that's come out for this 16-year-old kid from Birmingham City?
I said that last night.
We need players now, not 5 years from now. It doesn't. I know. We're buying young. We want for the future. But this is now. You want to get European football next season. You have to look now. What we need to do. We need a midfielder and a striker. Rashford is done till next season. The lad needs a rest. And the Old Trafford Medical Centre is an absolute farce. And I'm not blaming Solskjaer for that, but they have to look at themselves as well.
You mean United's medical team?
United's medical centre,
which I think is a doctor's on
very renowned.
What have I done wrong?
Like, carried to
some
medical
GP,
centre.
Like, he's like, rather good at his job. Yeah.
It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. I mean, who authorises Pogba? He's okay to play two
games. You made me laugh when you said, like, we're buying young. Have you seen, a bit off topic here, but we need a bit of like light relief, Ashley Young's announcement video?
No, but I saw it in the first interview.
Have you not seen it, right? I cannot advise you strongly enough to go and watch Ashley Young's Inter Milan announcement video.
Not the one where he's going, I was young.
He's proper buzzing off the fact his name's Young. When I played 45 games last season, I was young.
Oh my God.
Honestly, it's like fest. Alan Partridge goes to...
better than playing the piano, isn't it?
Milan. Did you see his first interview when he got out into Milan? There's a guy who comes up to him and he goes, "Good weather, isn't it, in Milan?" And he goes, "Yeah. Is it your first time in Milan?" "Yeah." He goes, "Thank you." And he goes in, and that's his first interview and joining the club.
Reminds me of my days reporting that sort of questions, the sort of hard hitting journalism you used to get with me.
You used to go to Milan?
No, I didn't. They sent me to Carrington a few times and to the Etihad, unfortunately. And think glamorous places like Preston's training ground.
Good old Preston.
But even though, right, just as we mentioned, Ashley Young, so far in his transfer window, we've sold Ashley Young for 1.3 million quid and brought in no one. Now, I'm not going to get into Ashley Young thing. I know people say, "Oh, we need to go and all that." But we've actually got fewer players in the middle of this transfer window than we had at the start of it. Is that acceptable?
You're beginning to believe that there's no money. This bottomless pit. Everything has been siphoned. There's supposed to be 70 million available from the Lukaku sale. And United were only willing to pay 40. And Lisbon wants 60 million for Fernandez. Yeah, you're going to throw 30 million at a youngster, but I'm beginning to believe there's no money at all.
Kieran, you seen us linked with this Inter Milan midfielder?
Yeah, Vecino this morning. What's that?
Do you know what I love about this as well?
What?
Are we linked with this Inter Milan lad? We want him.
Yeah.
And we've just sold them.
Yeah.
How much?
So a week later, then we go.
On loan, apparently.
On loan.
A week after we've sold them Ashley Young, and they don't have to deal with us anymore, then we go, "So we want a midfielder off you." No.
I can see a lot of deals like that.
See Ashley Young telling her, like,
you don't want any of that. I can see the next few days a lot of those deals popping up on the yellow bar on our TV screen saying, "Who's that? Who on loan? What?" Because they're going to panic like they did under Jones.
No, seriously though, do you believe we'll get anybody?
I think we will have to get.
I don't think we will.
I think even if it's someone who doesn't improve the squad, they will have to bring in someone because the backlash they will face. You know, even just anyone, it's obviously not.
Squad's on its knees.
The squad's on its knees. And I'm not saying, you know, bring in someone for the sake of it, but that's probably what they will end up doing.
I know there's a lot of nonsense spouting in the papers, right?
I get it. But some of the things that have been coming out recently are very, very worrying. And it shows you where we're at. We're hearing things like, you know, the lad, is it? I always forget his name. Ramazani.
Yeah.
I've seen him a few times on Twitter. Everyone's getting his name wrong. He's nowhere near good enough, in my opinion, for top flight football. Not disrespecting the lad. We've seen him being talked up.
Damani Miller's another one.
Yeah. Him being spoken up. We've seen, I know it's nonsense, but Carlos Tevez being linked with you're two steps away from Owen Hargreaves putting his boots back on, but I know it's a lot of pinch
Berbatov, I'd take him back.
He's still putting a bloody shift on.
It shows you where we're at though, that sort of these names have just been pulled out there because it's almost like silly season, Mark 10. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's just sort of no end to it, or no end to the nonsense that we're witnessing. Do you see, Carth, I'll start with you, a signing coming in that can change things for Manchester United this season? Do you see a January transfer being made that can help turn things around?
I mean, I hope so, because I think if we get a Bruno Fernandes in, he's not going to solve everything. He's not going to be the shining light to save our season and get us top four. But he'll improve us on the pitch, and that's the kind of thing we need. Yeah, he might need time to settle, but I think he's still an effective player. But with what I'm reading so far, I don't think it's going to happen. And it's going to end up being a loan signing, or it's going to be a panic buy. It'll be like that time when we tried to sign Fabio Coentrão. on deadline day. Trey, yeah. Just a random name comes out of nowhere.
Just to shut us all up.
That was half 10 at night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When Real Madrid are like, no.
We can't buy anyone else.
We need a striker, seriously. And you're going to... You can't stick with Martial up front for the rest of the season. It's not fair on him.
Do you think they... have got it where it takes without Rashford to get the goals that we need.
No.
Well, you've answered that already before.
No,
I mean, actually,
the goals will dry up, and I won't be surprised if we'll drop from fifth place.
Do you think? Where do you stand, Kieran? Do you think Martial can do it on his own? Well, with Greenwood as backup,
I've always been a big fan of Martial. Honestly, I think the system definitely needs to be played around him. You know, I think when you saw.
For starters, you've got to have a fucking system.
Yeah, you have to have a system. And right now, we're kind of...
He should have put his chance away last night.
Yeah, and an Anfield on Sunday.
It's weird last couple of games. Like, why is
sorry, Adam, if I'm saying this, but I know you're his fan club. But,
why is he putting his laces through it?
He should have buried it. He should have buried it at Anfield on Sunday as well.
Well, yeah.
I mean...
I think the sad thing for me is I think Martial can be, I've said this along a few times, similar to a Firmino type of player. So keep going about Scousers, but, you know, just...
They're doing things rather well at the moment.
Where if you have him as your sort of deep line number nine with someone like a Rashford and another attacking, so maybe a Mason Greenwood on either side, between the three of them, they can get you goals and he can help create and get his own goals. I think when you've got him as your only striker, last night against Burnley, there was times when you needed someone in the box and he wasn't there. Now, when Rashford's there, you get away with that because sometimes they swap. People say, oh, Rashford's always on left. Rashford cuts in a lot. And we'll sort of get
in a change.
Yeah, but Martial, you know, he's coming deep to get the ball. He's drifting wide, and when you've not got someone like a Rashford alongside you, it gets exposed. Obviously, we've not really mentioned the goals or anything about that. We mentioned Martial and his performance, but there was two goals obviously we conceded against Burnley. The first one, Harry Maguire at fault.
Yeah, played him onside.
Played him onside, didn't he?
Same set of pieces, it's our kryptonite, isn't it?
Is that worrying that Harry Maguire, our 85 or 80 million quid defender, is making basic mistakes? Or is that just
learn from your mistakes?
Yeah, is
fast.
That okay? Give him a bit of a, you know, he's up against it and it's not his fault. Or
I mean, the second one, it was like,
I've got into a bit of a thing on Twitter because I blamed De Gea for that.
I agree with you.
I thought his positioning was bad and I thought he left a massive gap there and he could give himself too much to do.
It's becoming a thing now where he's just getting beaten.
A lot of people are like, no one would have saved that.
I don't think, like I said, about four and a goal and they don't talk to each other.
I'm not going to
just stand there like statues and look at each other.
There's no communication there, is there really? De Gea's always been like, he's always been quiet.
What you give for somebody to just start bollocking each other.
There's no one in the changing room
that
can do
that. I think that could turn into like an 11-man argument, though, because they're all as bad as each other at the minute.
That back four should... I remember Brian Robson, he said this, and Stevie Bruce, late night, was it Fergie's reign? He lost to Norwich City, and they all went into town. They all went to a pub, and they all had to clear the air talks, and they didn't like what was said to each other. Brian Robson, Gary Powers to Steve Bruce... They were all there, Paul Ince, and they were all there. And they had to clear the air, right? You're not pulling your weight. You're not pulling your weight. And Gary Pallister was saying, like, I didn't like what I was hearing, but you had to listen. And you can say your bit as well. But they actually cleared the air. Now, I know this squad's behind Solskjaer, and I can see that. I see what I play for him. But maybe Solskjaer just going, all right, lads. I'll walk out the door, sort it out between yourselves as well. And if you can't take the criticism, why the fuck are you there?
Do you think as well, right, we've all made our feelings clear on Ollie. Do you think, I've started with Ollie, do you think he's going to be here in the summer? Do you think he's going to be here to the end of the season?
Yeah.
To the end of the season.
Yeah. Do you think long term he's the right man for the job?
I can't answer that.
Right.
No one can.
I can answer that. Yeah. Long term, do I think Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer is the right man for the job? No. I'll be honest with you. I'm not saying Ollie out. What I'm saying is, I think he's coming in now. He's doing a certain job, bringing through some youngsters, bringing through some players. I think long term, is he the answer? Probably not. I think we assess in the summer. If we get top four with a trophy, give him more time. And I hope he proves me wrong. But I think, in even being honest, I see another manager coming in somewhere along the line in the next 2 years.
What he's done needs to be carried on if there's another manager. It can't be ripped up.
He's the bridge to the next manager.
Because if the next manager comes in, he could rip that side up again and we're starting again.
But what I also wanted to get at as well, the reason I asked that is because it's almost going under the radar a little bit, the coaching staff. Now, we've had this thing with United. When Fergie left and Moyes came in and Rennie Merlinstein went, and Mickey Phelan went, and most of the backroom staff went, and Moyes changed the setup. He was more on the training ground, he was more hands on, and you had the likes of Jimmy Lumsden and Steve Round, who for the life of me I never understood what the fuck either of those two were doing coaching Manchester United. And Phil Neville came in, and Ryan Giggs, even though he was marginalised, there was a different setup. Then Van Gaal came in with a different setup, and Jose with Rui Faria and things like that. Do you think the coaches need to be taking some responsibility?
Yeah, here? Well,
do you think the setup needs to be looked at as well? Because Ollie's taking all the flak for the performances on the pitch, and some of it rightly so. But where's Mickey Phelan in this? Where's Michael Carrick in this? Where's Kieran McKerrin in this? What are they doing on the training ground where we're conceding so many goals from set pieces? Is that all on Ollie?
No, it's not an Ali, because you got to look at what goes on at Carrington.
Exactly. The training.
That's what I wonder.
He's got, right, lads, maybe Solskjaer needs a meeting in the office with them three. Right, lads, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, because this is coaching things.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Do we actually do any opposition-specific coaching? I don't think we do. Because if we did, we wouldn't have problems on the set pieces last night.
No, you're right.
And I don't know what we do in training.
You play against Burnley, right? You could throw a stone out the window and you'd hit someone who'd tell you exactly what Burnley are about. Yeah. They're about big, strong, centre forwards.
Jones played okay last night.
Yeah, but the bar's been so lowered, Andy, that if he doesn't defecate in the middle of the pitch, you think he's had a good game? I'm sorry.
But
he fell over at a time where he could get away with it.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. And do I think Phil Jones played well? No, I don't, but I'm not blaming Phil Jones. I don't think anyone played well. And I thought Andres Pereira was the worst player.
Fred and Williams were okay last night, but Pereira, what the fuck is he doing on the pitch?
I thought when Ashley Young left, I wouldn't be frustrated at another player.
All I can say is he needs help. If he wants to flourish, Pereira, if he wants to flourish, get a career at United, he needs somebody alongside him.
He needs a footballing brain and he doesn't have it.
I've never seen a player that bad have as many chances in a Manchester United shirt. He's played, over 25 games or something this season, or 20 games this season, and he's shocking.
He is.
And, you know, tripping someone up at the Etihad doesn't make your career okay.
At Anfield, running into your own player.
At the Etihad, no, he did it. He tripped up.
My point is, when
he tripped Sterling up, it was a good thing, but you can't dine out on that for the rest of your life.
No.
That's all he's done all season, practically. He's just so poor.
Unfortunately,
I mean, you get pulled off at half-time, you know you've had a stinker.
Yeah.
And we've seen him and Jesse Lingard both subbed at half-time in the last three home games?
Three home games, yeah.
Those have been your number 10s. It beggars belief that this is where we're at. We've got players who can't score, can't assist, can't create.
It's like they run away from their responsibilities. No, literally, some of them are running away from their responsibilities and they're not taking... They're not standing up to, I'm sorry. They're not, that's what they do. You see, like, they're just running away. They don't know what to do. Why are you on the pitch then?
I don't know how Angel Gomez didn't get on yesterday.
I think there's something going on there, but I think maybe it was out of sympathy for him. You don't want to throw him into this mess, because I don't understand the logic at all in bringing on Jesse and...
You know what? I could see even Rashford now, 18 months from now, if it's still like this, I want to go.
You're almost to the point where you wouldn't blame him. He's a United fan through and through.
It'll kill it. It'll tear him apart to leave. It will tear him apart if it comes to it.
You stay at the minute is because of your loyalty rather than thinking that, he's a player that deserves Champions League football. Is he going to get United? I don't know, probably not.
A player that deserves to win things as well.
Deserves not to be played when his back's knackered.
I know,
exactly. Have a rest.
Yeah.
It deserves, like you say, I don't think he'll be back till next season, but it deserves a rest now and... He deserves the chance to flourish maybe elsewhere in the future.
Before we wrap up, we're going to do our Wallies of the Week.
I am Adam McCullough.
Kieran, we'll start with you.
My Wally of the Week this week. I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, but it's got to be the man who wasn't in attendance last night, Mr. Ed Woodward. I think with the theme of everything going on at the club at the moment, it would be hard not to pick him just based on the fact that I've never seen such a cohesive, I don't want to say hate because, but it is disdain. It is kind of hate towards a man who, it's not all his fault, but it is largely the reason we are in the mess we are. And you saw the walkout last night, people leaving with 10 minutes ago. People have had enough. It goes back to when the green and yellow scarf started popping up around, was it like 2010, 2011?
Yeah, AC Milan.
Yeah, it feels like the first time since then.
Beckham put a scarf around his neck.
Yeah, it feels like since then, or since, you know, those scarves started pop or reappeared again, that people have had enough. And that's for me why he's my
You'll see a lot more green and gold in this
day. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, if that's your only way to protest, then it, you're getting something off your chest and you're doing your little bit. That's fair enough. You do it. Yeah.
And those chants will get louder as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I said, the next home game is it Wolves?
Wolves at home, yeah.
I mean, next Wednesday, it could be absolutely toxic.
Mm.
We have two cup games coming up.
Yeah.
Tranmere or Watford, and then what?
Recording, yeah. We don't know if it's going to be Tranmere or Watford. Yeah.
You assume it'll be Watford.
Andy, who's your Wally of the week?
I'm going to change the goalpost. Have a little bit of fun. I'm going to have a pop at Greg's.
Oh, here we go. Oh,
here we go. All I'm going to say is...
Lawsuit incoming.
You're ruining a tradition. This is... For the moment, they've taken meat potato pasties off the board. Non-existent.
Do you get a vegan option of it, dear, or something like
that? Don't talk to me about vegan.
Stuff the vegan option.
No. Vegan sausage rolls are all right, Andy.
I understand the craze and that everyone's entitled to have their vegan sausage roll or vegan pasty, but to meat set of pasties, it's a northern thing, and they've basically become the South.
Southernising Greg.
I go to Pound Bakery now, 2 for £1.
You're making pasties southern.
If you are listening to people from Pound Bakery, we are open to sponsorship deals.
Yeah, please.
Other pastry delicacies are available from other shops, obviously. Karthik, are you as outraged that Greg's have taken off the meat and potato pasty option?
I can't say I am.
You'd be saying that if they took off cheese and onion pasties. Oh. Hey, there you go, lad.
I'm still not giving it
that expression says it all.
Who am I going to go with? I could say that guy who was randomly started speaking about Pogba after...
That's mine, actually.
That was random.
But
I'm going to go with... Well, Andy told me that Gaz has never seen Back to the Future, so I'm going to go Gaz.
He's never seen Back to the Future.
Never seen Back to the
Future.
Yes,
Radio Gaz. Any of them. I'm calling you out.
It's an absolute...
Great Scott!
It's a little bit weird, though, Back to the Future, because I often wonder, like, is there some form of inbreeding going on there?
Oh, dear.
Like, why are all the parents the same as the kids throughout the generations?
What do you mean they look alike?
Yeah. It's the same actors playing them from 1885 through to 1985. 2019, sorry. So,
oh, yeah,
2015,
it did go to, yeah.
So why are they all the same?
McFly?
Are they all just like, is it just incest central? I don't know. Maybe I'm looking into it too much.
It is 30 years since the last movie and what happened 30 years ago.
Yeah, but in 80 years or whatever, my grandkid's wife isn't going to look the same as my daughter.
Well, you never know.
Oh, if there's something's gone wrong. Well, it's, you know what I mean? It's just weird.
It's Hill Valley.
It's, yeah, that's what I mean. Hill Valley is like some incestuous little inbreeding pot.
Where's the flying cars, man?
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's something going on there. I don't want to get into it too deeply because I'll ruin it. But yeah, it's always worried me. My Wally of the Week, Kathy, you alluded to it, is Jason McAteer. Jason McAteer yesterday said that he blamed Paul Pogba for United losing against Burnley. Paul Pogba... It wasn't playing. He's created this atmosphere, and he's got a bad influence on everyone. He's influencing all these younger players, and it's his fault that United are struggling. Now, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, right? But this is a trait that we're seeing consistently in the media.
Yeah,
and it's not just with Paul Pogba, right? We've seen it all, and it's honestly we've seen it all for the last 18 months with Meghan Markle. She's got a problem. Mm. She's got a bad attitude. She's upsetting the apple cart. It's all her fault. She's a nuisance. We've seen it with Paul Pogba. We've seen it with so many other players. Raheem Sterling got it for years. Well, for about a year and a half before it got to the point ridiculous where even us as Manchester United fans were saying,
it's ridiculous.
That City player that used to play for Liverpool, you're out of order on him, which says it all. And now Paul Pogba's getting blamed. Now, if you're watching United get dicked off Burnley and you think Paul Pogba, who's not kicked a ball for us for months, is the issue, you're absolutely either deluded or you've got some sort of agenda.
Yeah.
Either way,
or both.
It's not good enough. You need to be better at your job of commentating than just spouting off what is pretty much right-wing drivel.
Typical scouser.
Well, you can argue that, but...
Oh, dear.
You know, so watch that and go, it's all Paul Pogba's fault. It's a nonsense. And he's not the only one that said this. Now, listen, I've been critical of Paul Pogba. I think he's not been consistent enough. I think, you know, we haven't seen the best of him, but I still think he's a very talented player. But if he's not playing... It's not his fault. If he's just had surgery, it's not his fault that United are getting beat off Burnley.
Oh, Jason McAteer didn't stand up to Roy Keane, did he? All them years ago. He bottled it.
I think he's calling out for what it is. I'm not one of those who just likes throwing the race card, as people like to say. I don't like using that expression. But I think you need to look at it and it's like, why are we targeting these people?
Yeah.
There's an obvious sort of theme there's a running
common
through.
Denominator.
Yeah, there is a common denominator. So I think people like McAtee and some of the other people who comment on idiotic nonsense need to look at themselves. So he's my Wally of the Week, but you could have swapped him for any number of pundits who've said similar drivel in the past. Kieran, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Kieran Taylor 2, over at Stretford Paddock as well. Give
Stretford
us a
Paddock.
Fuck. The Stretford Paddock.
All sorts of madness going on there. Yeah, course, we've not even touched on the FA Cup game. We're either going to get Watford or Tranmere. We're going to lose to one of them, so it doesn't matter. Karthik, where
can
people find
you? I can be found on Twitter at Kartsham _.
He's up to 400 followers now, the boy, eh?
I'm growing.
Got 50 followers overnight.
And
he didn't even rant, really. He didn't even swear and point at the camera. That's all that about. Talking of which, Andy?
I'm on Instagram. I'm not on Twitter, but I have thought about it.
You're not Twittering anymore.
Oh, you don't want to be on Twitter right now.
I
would get a lot of followers. I know that. I would. But the abuse as well. But I am on Instagram at _MUFC8, and I've got about nearly 1,500 people.
If you want to see the worst impressions of French people or Scottish people, you should check out Andy's Twitter.
Check out my impression of Ed Woodward on Instagram. Yeah, my name is Ed Woodward. Yeah.
It's uncanny. I thought Ed Woodward
was in the room.
I was about to call you.
If you are listening, then that was Andy pretending to be Ed Woodward, not Ed Woodward walking into the room.
Oh dear. Santa game.
We've got lots of vids coming up as usual. We're going to be at the FA Cup game, giving you reaction to that. We're going to have Howson and McCullough are going to be doing a video again, their uncensored video. So check that out as well. All the usual stuff. We're going to have previews, fan cams, everything you expect. So don't forget as well to give us a like, a share, subscribe whether you're listening to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, or you're watching on YouTube. I've been Jay. This has been Karthik, Kieran and Andy. This has been the Full Time Devils podcast. Thanks for watching.
Cheers.
Podcast Network.